It's a mistake. It's a mistake. No, silly, not you being here. Hopefully you are here on purpose. But I'm going to be talking to you today about the mistakes that you've made or might make in the future as a medical sales professional. Hello, my friends. This is Mace Haroff, and I want to welcome you to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, the podcast for medical sales professionals. And you might be wondering, why does Mace want to talk about mistakes? I don't make mistakes, or I minimize my mistakes, or maybe people don't even notice my mistakes. Hopefully that's true. But here's what I promise you. If you make mistakes, people are noticing. Maybe not everybody, but the people who matter will notice your mistakes. And, you know, everybody makes them. Hopefully you're human. I think most of the people who sell in the medical device, pharmaceutical world, durable medical equipment, they are human beings. One thing I learned about human beings a long time ago, they make mistakes. So if you're human, you probably make mistakes. I sure as hell know that I make them, and I made them back in my selling days in the medical device world, and it's just part and parcel of being human. Now, what made me think about mistakes? Did anybody watch the 2017 Academy Awards? If you have, and depending on when you're listening to this, but they were fairly recent. In fact, it was a couple of days ago. So if you watched the Academy Awards, you know there was a big gaffe that occurred at the end of the show, at the ultimate part of the broadcast when they are awarding the Best Picture Academy Award. This is when everybody was watching, everybody was waiting. This was the ultimate moment. And if you remember what happened, Benway thought that he was just being dramatic. He was pausing for effect. And he looked at it and she said, come on, stop playing around. And he just handed her the card to read. And she looked and she announced La La Land as the winner of Best Picture. And the people from La La Land, the producer, the director, all the actors, they came up on stage and they already started making their speeches. And all of a sudden, one of the stagehands comes out and he's saying, wait, there's a problem. They didn't win. Long story short, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway announced La La Land as the winner when the real winner was Moonlight. And this was just a very embarrassing moment for the Oscars. It was very embarrassing for Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway because initially people were blaming them for screwing it up. And it was just awkward, which should have been a great moment for the people from Moonlight. They had to come back up when the people from La La Land were still on the stage. And it was just overall very embarrassing for the Oscars. So what happened? It turns out that PricewaterhouseCoopers, who's the accounting firm for the Oscars, going back to 1934, I believe it is. So they've been with the Oscars for a very long time. They had two accountants on site, and these accountants, it was their job to hand the envelope to the presenters. That was the only job they had, was to hand the envelope to the presenters. And one of the accountants, when Warren Beatty was coming out, handed him the wrong envelope. He had handed him the envelope for Emma Stone's Best Actress Award, and she had already received that, but they had duplicates. Either the accountants were at either end of where the presenters would come out, so they had duplicates because they didn't know which side they would be coming out on. But this accountant, not really paying attention, he had one job to do, he wasn't paying attention, he handed Beatty the wrong envelope. Now again, he's a human being. Human beings make mistakes. Should the mistake have happened? Of course not. But human beings make mistakes. So what's the problem? You know, this mistake happened. Why is there so much to do about it? Because nobody said anything for almost 2.5 minutes. People were up there. They were accepting the awards. The speeches began. And the whole world, millions of people, thought that La La Land won Best Picture. That's what happens in a couple of minutes when the mistake is not fixed quickly. Now, the next day we found out what happened and the blame shifted from Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway to PricewaterhouseCoopers. And you know, it is oftentimes human nature that when a mistake has been made and all the fingers are pointing at you, if you can pass the blame off to someone else, there is, I think, an innate human desire to want to do that. Now, people with integrity will not do that. They will own the mistake if it is theirs. And that's really what the crux of this podcast is about. Medical sales is complicated. And whether we're talking about the sales process itself, the actual steps that are taken for a customer to acquire your product or services, or even in the delivery of those products and services, if perhaps you partake in the clinical environment, if you are part of the clinical environment when those services are delivered or when your product is used, there's an opportunity for mistakes to be made. That's just the way it goes. And again, few people are going to fault you for a mistake if it was a true mistake, if you otherwise did a lot of diligence, if you took due care in providing the services that you are supposed to provide as part of your job. But where they won't tolerate it is when you don't own up to the mistake quickly enough, or if you try to cover it up. You are going to make mistakes. People on your team are going to make mistakes. Your distributor, your company will make mistakes. And we see this all the time. I can't tell you how many times I've seen sales reps, for example, in the operating room when they don't have the right implant, for example, on an orthopedic case or a cardiovascular case, and they'll say, oh, my company shipped the wrong product, or Federal Express screwed up, or UPS screwed up. They didn't deliver it in time, or they delivered it to the wrong address. You know, these things may be true, but at the end of the day, the customer is not looking for a salesperson to pass blame. The customer is looking for a salesperson, number one, to own the problem, and number two, to fix it. That's your job, to fix it. Now, sometimes it can't be fixed. And I'm going to share with you, this is absolutely my most painful story from my own medical sales career. I don't like sharing it, but I think it's very instructive in what I believe is the right way to approach a problem, regardless of the consequences. And probably a lot of you know that I was in the orthopedic implant business for most of my career and did a lot of hips and knees, did some orthopedic trauma. But if you've ever worked in this industry, and I know a lot of you do, it can be very, very stressful. And here's the thing. Your customers are depending on you to have the implants and instruments and foresight for when they're in surgery taking care of a patient. And one of the things that I really prided myself in was making sure that I had what the orthopedic surgeons needed for any case. I mean, I went to what I didn't realize at the time, it was normal operating procedure for me, but I went to extremes to make sure I had what I needed. I always stopped by the surgeon's offices ahead of time, looked at the x-rays, asked questions, really tried to understand the needs of the patient so I could have whatever equipment was needed for the surgeon. Now, did I do this because I was just a great guy and I wanted to make sure the patients did well? No, I mean, that was part of it. That was a big part of it. I never wanted a patient to suffer because I was lazy and didn't do the necessary work ahead of time. But the reality is, I wanted to hold on to the business. I never wanted to have a mistake, an error, or a screw up, pretty much all the same thing, right? Where a surgeon would stop using my product. If a surgeon stopped using my product, I never wanted it to be because of an oversight on my part or some stupid thing that I did. And my reputation really, I mean, to this day, when I talk to surgeons who I worked with years ago, I mean, over a decade ago, they still say, Macy, you're one of the best. You know, you were always prepared. You had what we needed. So I took a lot of pride in this. And I went through great measures to make sure that there were as few foul-ups as possible. Well, like a lot of you, as my territory grew over the years, I brought on other people. I had people on my team that I depended on to do what I needed for them to do. Now, there was one case in particular. This is a case I want to share with you. I'm going to call the doctor Dr. Smith. And Dr. Smith was operating on a patient, and the patient was a fairly young person for having a total hip revision. Now, on revisions are complicated. And what a revision is when a patient has an implant already in place, you know, they've had a hip replacement or a knee replacement, and because of one or more reasons that implant has to be removed. It's and replaced, removed and replaced. It could be because it's loose, which is usually the most common reason, or there could be, you know, a sizing issue or a pain issue or any one of a number of issues. But this was a relatively young patient who had to have her hip replaced. And so I looked at the x-rays, I did a lot of preoperative planning, and to make sure I had everything that I needed, it was a fairly complicated case. I presented a list to the two guys who worked for me on my team. And it was their job to set up the case, make sure all of the instruments and implants were at the surgery, and it was taken care of. And a lot of times, in, you know this if you're in orthopedic implants, or in medical sales in general, a lot of the things you do are last minute. You have to get an instrument set, it's in use in another hospital, or it has to be shipped in by the company, and things are happening fast and are happening at the last minute, and you're busy and things are happening quickly. But I always emphasized check and double check, make sure that everything is there. So in this particular surgery, there were probably about 35 trays of surgical instruments. I'm not exaggerating. It might have been 34, 35, but there were all kinds of contingencies for this particular patient. And I was the one who was covering the surgery. I had the most experience, and this was a very complex case, and that was one of the other things I like to do for the surgeons is, depending on the complexity, I would go where I was needed the most. So I would always get there early and go through the instruments, make sure everything was there, you know, this double check. But on this particular day, with all of these trays, 35 instrument trays stacked up in the back, the surgical assistant, the scrub tech, was very busy doing other things, getting the surgery underway, and he didn't have time to move 35 trays around for me to check them out. They were already sterile on the field, opened, and the surgery started. And everything was going quite well until the surgeon got to the part of the surgery where he needed one particular tray of instruments to be able to prepare the bone for the ultimate implant. And as it turns out, long story short, that tray was not there. First time, and this was after 20 years of doing this, first time I was ever in a surgery where I did not have an instrument that I needed. Now, yeah, it's happened before where, you know, instruments broke, you know, or they got lost maybe in processing, or, you know, but this was the first time it was actually missing. And the pucker factor was huge. Now, I had to believe it was there, because I didn't make mistakes like this. My team didn't make mistakes like this. So the surgeon is staring at me, kind of like, well, Mace, what are you going to do to fix this? And I get on the phone to my office, which, by the way, was about an hour and a half away, and they didn't have another set anyway. It really didn't matter how close they were. But I called the office, and I said, who picked it up? And they said, Steve picked it up at the office. So I immediately call Steve on his cell phone, and I said, Steve, the office said you picked this up. All the trays are in here. And he said, they got to be there, Mace. They got to be there. I said, no, I'm telling you, they're not there, and I need it now. I said, go check your car. And he says, all right, I'll check my car. He went out to his car. He comes back. He says, Mace, it's not in my car. It's not there. Jim must have it. I said, what do you mean Jim must have it? He said, well, I didn't have time to deliver it. So I took the instruments and I passed them off to Jim. He delivered the instruments to the hospital. So now I quickly hang up the phone on Steve. I call Jim. I say, Jim, what's going on? He said, Mace, I delivered all the instruments. I know they're there. I said, Jim, check your car. I said, I believe you. Check your car. So Jim checks his car. He comes back on, and I could tell by the tone in his voice. He says, Mace, I found the instrument tray. It's on the floor in the back seat of my car. And I said, where are you? He was over 2 hours away. Wasn't going to help. I wasn't getting that tray. I had never been in a situation where I had to go back and tell a surgeon, I can't help you. So the good news is this was an excellent surgeon, and he knew how to improvise, and he had great skills. And he was able to prepare the bone without the instruments, made some other very expensive things available to him, like actual implants for him to use to make sure they fit. And that responsibility was on me. But the bottom line was the patient had a great result. That's the most important thing. The patient did fine because, again, a good surgeon, we were able to come up with a way to do the operation, and just kind of lucked out on that. But what didn't do fine was me. And I could also tell when I walked out of the OR that day, you know, and I waited outside for the surgeon to finish the case. And when he came by, you know, he just like really didn't want to talk to me. You know, he was just pretty disgusted. And the first thing I did was I gathered my team and I called a meeting at my house, mandatory. I said, I don't care what plans you had tonight. I don't care if you're going out to dinner. I don't care if your kids have a soccer game or whatever. I want you at my house at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about this. And I'm literally, I don't want to say I was maniacal, but I had these guys literally in tears because they knew they failed. They knew they screwed up and they knew how upset I was and how my future business with this surgeon had been compromised. And it was, you know, what we did at that moment was we implemented steps, number one, to double check and make sure this would never happen again. If trays were passed from one person to another, they had to be accounted for. And the person who was accepting them, once they accepted them, that person was responsible. Also, the person who set them up in the operating room, that person was responsible. And there was nothing different there, but we were just being very, very clear about that. Now, if you were me, I had to go face that surgeon. I mean, this was, I didn't sleep that night. I literally didn't sleep. I was so upset. And all I wanted to do was talk to the surgeon to explain what happened and explain what steps we'd taken to make sure it wasn't happening again. But more importantly than anything else, to apologize, to absolutely apologize. Now, in my experience, here's what most reps would have done in that situation. They would have walked into the surgeon and say, hey, it wasn't my fault. My guy screwed up. That's what most people would have said. And that was the truth. My guy did screw up. But when I thought about this, I said, you know, my guy may have screwed up, but in the surgeon's mind, he didn't contract with, you know, my assistant. He contracted with me to do the case. He was depending on me. And at the end of the day, the captain of the ship is the one who is responsible, regardless of who on his team or who in the universe had messed up to cause the debacle. It was up to me. I walked into the surgeon's office, and he was busy. He was seeing patients, and I emphasized it's very important that I talk to him. And I waited, I think, about 45 minutes, and finally I was ushered back, and he was in his office, and I closed the door, and I sat down. I said to him, there's a few things I want to talk to you about, but first of all, let me ask you, how is the patient? And he said, well, the patient is fine. The x-rays look good, and I think she'll do quite well. He says, I'm not worried about the patient. I said, let me first of all tell you that I take 100% responsibility for what happened, and from the bottom of my heart, I want to apologize. Most importantly, moving forward, I want to explain to you why it happened, so you know the chain of events that led up to this. And I also want you to know what I have done, the changes that we made at a meeting last night to make sure this never happens again. And I went through it point by point with him. And when I was done explaining what we did, I said, again, I apologize. And, you know, I fully plan to be present for you. When you need me, I will do all that I can to make sure you never go through this again. Whether or not you call me again, doctor, is up to you. But I can only assure you that after this debacle, the chances of it happening with me again are highly unlikely, especially with you. And he didn't say anything. I was hoping he was going to say, well, don't worry, you know, thanks for coming by. The business is yours. Well, you know, I'm still going to use you. Everything is fine. He just looked at me and he said, thank you for coming in. I got to get back to seeing patients. So, and I walked out, and you know, I walked out with the uncertainty of knowing whether or not I was going to have that business. But most importantly, I felt that I owned the situation. Now, I'm not telling you this to brag. I mean, I'm not here to brag about my screw up, but I want to tell you what happened. I think it was, I don't know, a week or two later. I was in the same hospital doing a surgery with a different surgeon where this debacle had occurred. And the head orthopedic nurse who was there during that major mess-up, she came up to me and she said, Mace, I got to tell you, Dr. Smith is extremely impressed with you. And that was the last thing in the world I ever expected to hear. I said, impressed with me after that big mess-up, after that stressful, you know, 2 hours in the OR a couple of weeks ago? And she says, Mace, what he is impressed about, he said, you came to his office the next day and took full responsibility, and you didn't beg for the business, You took full responsibility and you told him what you did to make sure it would never happen again. He said he never expected that. He said when you walked in, he thought all you were going to do was pass the blame onto somebody else. I guess he didn't know that I don't do that. He certainly knew it at that moment. He was impressed enough to share that with an employee at the hospital. Now, what does this have to do with you? Well, hopefully you're able to discern that, to be able to extract what I shared with you, how things should apply, how you should approach these things. Listen, you're human. You're going to make mistakes. Number one, hopefully you're going to do things to make sure that the mistakes don't occur. There will be distractions. Let's go back to the Oscar gaffe. Let's talk about what happened there. These accountants are not celebrities. And imagine that that what you do in your daily job is you sit at a desk at a computer and you're crunching numbers in a spreadsheet. I mean, that's your level of excitement 40 or more hours a week. And maybe you get to meet with people to talk about those numbers or to ask them questions so you could crunch the numbers. But your life's not very, very exciting. And then lo and behold, you are at the Academy Awards and you are handing envelopes to the biggest stars, the biggest celebrities in the world. Do you think that could be a little distracting? The question is absolutely. I have to cut the accountant who made the mistake, who handed the wrong card. I have to cut him some slack. But here's where he made a mistake. We all have to recognize that when we're in these situations of high stress, high excitement, such as when you're in surgery, for example, or your customer is evaluating your equipment or your service, and you want everything to go right, there are distractions which can take place. Mistakes could occur. I talk about this from the aviation world all the time, because in aviation, there's lots of distractions. And a case in point is if you're making a flight, for example, if you're flying a plane and you're under a lot of pressure, it's very easy to go through a checklist, for example, and not really pay attention to the items on the checklist. You kind of just check them off in your head. It's like you're phoning it in. But I always forced myself, anytime I felt a little distracted or if I was moving too fast, I would start over. I would go through the checklist again, and I would force myself to go through each item and focus on each item, because when you're flying an airplane, missing one checklist item, for example, having the fuel selector set on the tank that has the least amount of fuel in it when you're taking off, not a good thing. It could kill you. It could kill your passengers. It could kill people on the ground. If you sell in the medical world, people are depending on you to do the right thing. It is so critically important that you check and double check. And if you are distracted by anything, just being overwhelmed with the amount of work you have to do or how you had a rush to get to a doctor's office or a hospital, keep in mind that when you feel that overwhelm, then you are working in a situation where the probability for a mistake has gone up dramatically, dramatically, and you have to double check. You have to check everything that you're doing. The accountant at PricewaterhouseCoopers, moving forward, what he is going to do after this experience, assuming he gets to do it again, assuming, you know, he won't be penalized and rendered to some back room with a 1980s computer, you know, something like, an old early Windows, you know, the original Windows software, you know, that's going to be his punishment. But if he has that opportunity again, he is going to carefully read. He's going to say, like, if he was doing this again, he'd say to Warren Beatty, okay, yes, Mr. Beatty, so you are giving out the Best Actor's Award. The Best Picture Award. He's going to look at the envelope and say, okay, Best Pictures Award, this is the right envelope, here you go. He will double check. Instead of being just starstruck because all of a sudden Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway are in front of him and it's like, you know, he gets all mealy mouth and just hands him whatever envelope. Here you go. Here's the envelope without looking to see what the envelope was. You have to do the same thing. You have to double check. You have to be aware of when you're in a high stress situation, which again, in your world is going to be most of the time. So be prepared to prevent the mistake from happening. But despite your best efforts, it's going to happen. So here's, again, a lesson from the Oscars gaffe. It took 2.5 minutes before anybody said anything. those accountants, they knew it almost immediately. The second that Warren Beatty, you know, when Faye Dunaway said the winner was La La Land and it wasn't, they were freaking out backstage. Someone should have gone out there, I mean, within seconds and said, no, no, that's wrong. It's Moonlight. But they didn't. They were saying, well, what do we do? I don't know. What do we do? Well, I don't want to take blame for this. So it's your fault. It's your fault. And I'm not saying that when I'm backstage, but that's what happens a lot of times backstage in the medical device world when there's a mistake. The first thing is, if you're in a situation where you can still impact the clinical outcome, in other words, prevent the mistake from harming a patient, not only do you have a legal obligation to do that, you have a moral obligation to do that. The patient always comes first. You have to always do what you can to make sure the patient, any patient, and let's be honest, a lot of times the patient is an unknown entity. The patient is someone you may never see or hear their name or anything unless there's a problem. But you know there's going to be a patient. So nothing's more important than the patient getting the best outcome possible. So if there's anything you can do to prevent an adverse or a less than optimal outcome for the patient, you have the responsibility to do that without question. But the next thing, once you realize that a mistake has been made, you have to take steps immediately to rectify it. And sometimes, especially in the medical device world, and I've felt the pains of wanting to do this, before you admit something to a doctor or a hospital or something like that, you want to get counsel from your company. Sometimes you want to get legal counsel because you want to know what to do and say. Sometimes that could be too late. I'm not going to try and tell you what to do here, but I'm going to tell you that sometimes that's too late. Sometimes the biggest mistake that you can make from a legal perspective is not acting immediately to resolve the mistake. That's your first obligation. And I'm not a lawyer. You may want to talk to your companies. In fact, I would recommend that as a company or a distributorship or as a sales manager, that you really have a flowchart defined as to what a sales representative should do should a mistake happen where there may be legal implications. I would like to think that the first thing on that is do whatever you can to immediately rectify the situation, to minimize harm to the patient, to the provider, to the institution, and then move on it from there. Now, the next thing I will tell you, and this there you may have a little bit of time in this, but it's owning the mistake. Now, sometime owning the mistake, you know, you're a lawyer, for example, may say, you know, owning mistake isn't good because if you own the mistake, then what you're doing is you're admitting liability, if there is any liability. So if there's time, if it's not an immediately urgent thing where you can mitigate a bad outcome for a patient, then you may have some time to make a phone call and get some counsel before you say anything. But one of the most important things, if your concern is protecting your business and having additional business with this customer, one of the things is going to be owning the mistake. Certainly not passing the buck. You see, remember who you're dealing with. Healthcare professionals, they are in the risk management business, and they don't like people or entities that pass risk onto them. So for example, if you make a mistake and you try to infer that it was the healthcare professional's fault and not yours, that is not going to be perceived very well. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when healthcare professionals do make mistakes, and they may have utilized your product or service incorrectly. And that's a tough situation to be in. You have to be honest, and hopefully you've done things and you could document and back up that you've provided the necessary training and in-servicing and preparation, and you've provided that customer with the surgical protocols or whatever needs to be to show that you did your job. But if you made the mistake and you're trying to blame it on maybe somebody in the hospital, well, you know, sterile processing, they took the instrument out, or they put it in the wrong tray, or you blame it on the scrub tech or the nurse, or maybe somebody down in materials management who, you know, in the shipping and receiving, that they didn't receive it properly. People are going to look at you like you're just trying to save your ass and you don't really have any regard for the truth. You see, when a salesperson in a company, when there's a strong belief that they are the person who's responsible, it's very difficult to shake that belief. What you can do is present the truth. And sometimes when presenting the truth, some reps will extend that by, you know, they'll present the truth and say, well, you know, I really think it was Joe the nurse's fault. Don't inject your opinion. Present the facts and let people draw their own conclusion. But if you made a mistake, if there was something that could have been done better or differently, own it. And that's the next thing. The next thing is, you know, when you make a mistake, the customer now is thinking about, well, should I use this company again? Should I work with this sales rep again when he or she let me down the last time? So that's really your sale. That's what's in their mind. So, you know, the way to approach them is to say, listen, I understand that you probably must have some concerns about working with me and my company again after what happened. And I fully understand and I respect those feelings that you have. Let me explain to you what I've done, what my company has done to ensure that this is not going to happen to you ever again. And then you must be able to delineate step by step policies and procedures that you've implemented to make that customer feel comfortable. And then the last thing is you have to implement and maintain those policies. You work in a world where it's very, very easy to get rushed, to move on to the next opportunity, to get things done. Because let's face it, you know, when you're working with doctors and other healthcare professionals, they want things now. If the appointment is scheduled for today and you need to be there now at 1:30 and you have a conflict, that's a very stressful situation to be in. But even if it means showing up late, what's most important is doing the job right, making sure that you present the right product or service, that the customer and the support staff has been fully trained on how to use the equipment and you can document it, and that you are there if you need to be there to support them and to notify them when anything is not right, if something's missing, if something's broken, or if there have been some changes, recalls, whatever. You have to make sure that you've done everything possible with every one of your customers every time. And if a mistake happens, talk to your company, talk to whoever your manager is to find out about how to take ownership of the problem. But this I can promise you, if you or your company is at fault and you don't own the mistake, it will spread like wildfire. I've seen this happen too many times with sales reps who try to pass the blame, who, you know, for example, they didn't check the inventory and an implant is missing and they try to blame it on somebody else. Or even one rep who said, he actually snuck the implant back into the inventory and said, it was here the whole time. The nurse just didn't find it, except they had cameras and he got caught doing it. So there's all kinds of stories out there in the, in the wild world of medical sales. You want to make sure that you don't become one of those stories. So hopefully this strikes a message in you, and if you feel that this message has some relevance, you might want to share it with your colleagues, people on your team, especially any support people, maybe even the staff in your office if they are the ones who are responsible for sending out shipping inventory to your customers or to you, so they understand the importance of everybody owning the outcome of their job, whether it's done correctly or incorrectly. And, you know, again, good selling skills will help you with this. You know, good selling skills go a long way when you have to own a mistake and being able to transition through the mistake to sell the customer, if I can use that word, that it is safe to work with you. In fact, it will be advantageous. It's kind of like if you've ever, an analogy, if you've ever seen a restaurant that was closed by the health department and, you know, it takes like 2 weeks of the health department working with them for them to reopen. Now, if a restaurant has been closed, for example, because they found, 100 cockroaches running around the kitchen and rat droppings and things like that, and food that was stored at the incorrect temperature, the cook's not wearing hairnets and the hole in the screen door and flies flying around the kitchen, you don't want to eat there. I mean, let's be honest. In fact, hopefully you're not eating lunch while you're listening to this. I may have just grossed you out. But many people say that once the health department reopens that restaurant, it's the cleanest restaurant in town because everything has to be perfect for it to reopen. I want you to be able to convince your customers that when you've made a mistake, you've been so affected by it, so embarrassed by it, that you've implemented steps and processes so it can never happen again. And in reality, that's the way it should be. Mistakes are learning experiences. For all of us, if you have a sale that doesn't go well, this is why it's so important. If you have a sales call that didn't go well, it's so important to debrief that sales call because you will learn so much by debriefing what went right and what didn't go right. What could you have done differently? What will you do differently next time? You are so blessed to work in an industry and in a career that is both financially rewarding, but also personally rewarding because you get to make a difference. So make sure that your selling skills are up to speed. If you need some help with that, please check out Medical Sales Academy at medicalsalesacademy.com. It is my online 24-hour, 7-day-a-week learning and support platform for medical sales professionals. And a lot of times, people will come to me who are in Medical Sales Academy and they'll post on the forum, I made a mistake, this is what happened, how do I fix it? They'll actually get support on how to do this, recommendations on how to deal with certain situations. That is worth a lot when you don't know what to do. Having an outside source of counsel who can bounce some ideas with you, bounce them around, and help you to come to the best conclusion. Check out Medical Sales Academy. You know, right now, the tuition is very, very affordable. It is right now, it is early March. We are going to be opening enrollment here in early March of 2017. Enrollment will probably, when it opens, it'll only be open for about 5 days. We limit enrollment throughout the year. But check this out. It can make such a difference for you throughout your career. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish because you work in an industry where everything is mission critical. So check out medicalsalesacademy.com. And I want to thank you for being here. And if you've stuck with me throughout this entire podcast, you've done so because you value your medical sales professionalism. You want to do this as a career and you want to maximize your outcomes and your results in medical sales. And that means you're a medical sales professional. And my hat is off to you. And again, let me remind you that no matter what you do in your medical sales career, the patient always comes first. Hopefully you've gotten that from listening to this podcast. Thanks for being with me. I will talk to you again next week on the Medical Sales Guru podcast. Go out there and make a difference. Bye for now.